You're listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, I'm Karthik, but many of you know me better as Elahi on radio, and this is my new show, Healthwise. You all know me, I am an anime enthusiast, but do you know I studied medicine with a specialization in the field of paramedics? And that is what has inspired me to launch this podcast. Now, whether you are looking to boost your fitness, eat better, or improve your mental well-being, we have got you covered with expert tips, inspiring stories, and the latest in health tech research. This is a special episode brought to you by Merck. We are celebrating Environment Day. Environment Day is actually celebrated every year on June 5th. Established by the United Nations in 1972, this day raises awareness about environmental issues. Preserving our environment is very crucial. The air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat all depend on healthy ecosystems. And like I said, climate change, deforestation, pollution, and biodiversity loss threaten our future. And taking our action now is completely essential. So this podcast is actually dedicated to the World Environment Day. And today with us, we have Mr. Karthik Ganesan, who is a seasoned researcher specializing in energy and environmental issues with a focus on India's electricity system. Over the last decade, has been instrumental in conceptualizing and building a number of research verticals at CEEW and brings an edge to the organization's quantitative policy analysis work. As Director, Strategic Partnerships, he now dons the hat of internal advisor across research teams and creates institutional platforms and partnerships that strengthens CEEW's foundation for world-class research and enhance its impact. Karthik holds a master degree in public policy from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy at the National University of Singapore. He also holds an undergraduate degree in civil engineering and M.Tech in infrastructure engineering from the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras. He is an avid birder, scrabbler, and can spend hours talking about the benefits of composting. And yes, my list for you can actually go on and on, Karthik. I've known you through one of my mutuals, and you being here as an expert for World Environment Day podcast is something that I'm actually looking forward to. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thanks, Karthik. I guess this is the proverbial Karthik speaking to Karthik that we are currently, sort of in the process of. But thank you for having me on this. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what is it we can explore together to take the message of World Environment Day to all your listeners.
Well, Karthik, there is a significance of everything that we actually celebrate in this world. Probably there is a Valentine week that's being celebrated all across the globe. Then there is the New Year's Eve that people celebrate. But in all those chills and glamours, we often, you know, forget about environment. So, when I start this podcast, obviously, I want you to actually start from the basics and tell us about what is the actual significance of World Environment Day and what is there in the arsenal when it comes to its history.
To be honest, you know, obviously, the specifics of World Environment Day, as you mentioned already, you know, it started by the UN in 1972, you know, alongside possibly the Stockholm Conference. So, you know, it was a foundation in some way for all our work focused on the environment itself. But it shouldn't be reduced to a one-day thing. Right. I mean, it is, of course, like with everything else, you know, we're commemorating the environment and its importance on World Environment Day. But it's really a call to action for us to ensure that for the remaining 364 days, we are abiding by what is it we make commitments to on this day. Right. It's sort of like, you know, your New Year resolution. So you need to have sort of what is it that you do for the environment, not just to do this on one day, because it's definitely not enough. And more importantly, the Environment Day, just like, you know, we talk about how it's important to preserve the environment. As they say in the climate change space, right? We're doing all of this in terms of, you know, mitigating climate change and whatnot for the preservation of humanity itself. It's not so much for the upkeep of the environment as it is for the preservation of humanity. So we need to understand that when we talk about World Environment Day, it's not for the sake of the environment, because the earth will heal itself. Did not have the influences of perhaps the most damaging species on the planet, which is the human being. It will heal itself. And it's a matter of ensuring that we survive in consonance with the environment. And I think that's the big message that we need to deliver to everybody else, that the earth does not need human beings to help it. Human beings need to help themselves so that they can live in consonance and they can extend their longevity and not be one of those species that basically was, you know, around for a few hundred thousand years, maybe, you know, maybe a million. And it's the earth because we couldn't, you know, keep it in a state that allowed our continued thriving.
You know, Karthik, while I was going through, you know, all of those Google searches talking about, you know, why Environment Day is being celebrated across the globe. And, you know, there is every year you have a certain theme. I went across this post which says, you know, this year theme for World Environment Day is actually ecosystem restoration, which according to me actually, you know, emphasizes that there is the urgent need to repair damaged ecosystems to combat climate change and, you know, prevent biodiversity loss. The restoration can actually include, you know, planting trees, cleaning up rivers and rewilding gardens. A healthy ecosystem act as a carbon sinks, purify air and water, provide wildlife habitats and support agriculture. But when you are living in a city like Delhi, for example, or in Mumbai, you know, we have been hearing this across all the municipal corporations out there that, you know, the rivers are being cleaned. We are trying to, you know, make sure that the industries actually move out to the outskirts of the city. And this is way, you know, this is going to be how we are going to help preserve the environment. We are going to plant more trees. So we have a definitive theme for World Environment Day. But why such themes are actually chosen every year? Why not just go out with one single theme? What is the need of actually, you know, having a theme on an yearly basis? Why this particular theme?
Again, it's a call to action. I mean, at the end of the day, right, what we realize is that ultimately what we're calling for needs to speak to the broader purpose, right? And you will find that, you know, like with everything else, right, there has to be in some sense a flavor for the day or a theme for the year in this case. So that, you know, people get a sense over the years of what are the emerging priorities? Because, you know, sometimes research throws up all of these new findings, right, around what is it that is missing from the arsenal of action that has been put in place. So, for instance, for a good part of the last, you know, 50 years or rather the 30 years since the Conference of Parties started in 1992, focusing on climate change. You know, and climate change cannot be sort of mitigated by through a single-handed focus on the factors that cause climate change, which is basically greenhouse gas emissions. We realize that alongside climate change, you know, there is also impact on biodiversity, which implies that unless we sort of speak to ecosystems that support biodiversity, there will be sort of like, you know, actions that are at odds with each other when it comes to what is it that we need to do for climate change versus what is needed when it comes to do with the conference on biodiversity, for instance, and there is a conference of parties on climate change. And both of them really don't speak to the same set of issues. So when we do bring up issues like ecosystem revival, what we're effectively trying to do is tell people that, you know, it's not just addressing climate change and the mitigation and the impacts of climate change, which is, you know, rising sea levels and rising temperatures. We also need to be looking at the other species that inhabit this planet because they are contributing a lot to our lived experience on a daily basis, right? Whether it is for the pollination of, you know, of our horticulture produce or maybe even our agricultural produce, that, you know, that are so important for humanity to thrive, or whether it is, you know, the multiple entities, for instance, like whales, which potentially have the opportunity to help us sequester so much carbon, right, by way of many things that they actually do in the oceans. And of course, for this, we need to ensure that the oceans remain intact. The whale species, they both of these go hand in hand. And I think in that sense, that's the reason why I think they may have chosen the theme this year, to ensure that, you know, we're not just going with a single-minded focus on mitigating climate change itself, which seems to have overtaken, right, all other debates today.
Karthik, you know, every time when we talk about a certain issue, there are a lot of misconceptions out there in the society regarding that. People have a lot of misconceptions regarding environmental issues. For a lot of people, they believe that, you know, for a certain amount of money, if they chop down few trees, who is going to be, you know, taking a charge on them, or what is going to be the law and order? And they feel that, okay, even if we have chopped down one tree, what harm it could make to the environment, right? There are certain more misconceptions. Trees are the only thing that people who are not aware, like me, who come from the society of, you know, just reading things on newspaper and believing in it. So I want you to actually shed some light upon the misconceptions that, you know, people have about environmental issues.
So, you know, talking about misconceptions, one of the things that we need to understand is this. What the natural ecosystem provides us is something that cannot really be replaced by artificially produced commodities or even interventions. For instance, you talked about trees being chopped down. The reality, ultimately, it is shade that gives us, that significant respite from urban heat island effect, right? There have been studies recently that have been coming out that talks about how the temperature between shade, whether it's natural or artificial, could be, up to, 7 to 8 degrees, if not more, cooler than the ambient environment itself. So to that extent, we know that, yes, standing in the shade of a building is as, perhaps useful as standing under the shade of a tree. But we have to realize that trees have roles to play, right, within the urban environment itself. So to that extent, I think, thinking of everything as replaceable and thinking of, how we can replace, chopping off trees in one particular part of the city to then, talk about, rewilding and possibly even transplanting trees to different part of the city. Those are perhaps, some of the key things that need to be addressed. And in fact, I don't know what the specific statistic is. I think the city of Delhi has been chopping down multiple trees per hour, right, on every day of the year to, expand the infrastructure that the city really needs, right? The city of Delhi, for instance, has 20,000 kilometers of road, which is almost the same as the road network in a state like Gujarat, paved road network in a state like Gujarat. So you can imagine the density of trees that a city like Delhi has. And to cater to that, we've been chopping down trees. And in the process, what, the Delhi government recently has been doing is saying, we'll basically, transplant these trees to a different location. But then what needs to be seen is how many of those transplanted trees actually survive. What's the role of that tree in that local area? Right? What is the impact that it had? So replacing trees in one place with, planting trees in a different area just does not do justice, because that's where human life is thriving, where the tree has been removed. What then happens to the impact on the human beings that depend on that tree? Right? Whether it's for the shade, whether it's for, the tree to basically, provide whatever ecosystem services that it did. That is the challenge, I think. People don't realize that, these are not replaceable one-to-one. And an urban environment that's devoid of greenery is something that's probably, the average human being is not actually used to. It's just that this is a new phase that we're seeing. And we see that many cities across the world, especially in the newly developing South, seem to be embracing this. And that is a potential challenge.
Karthik, you have been associated with the environment and you have been a seasoned researcher for more than a decade now. Of course, when you say, small things matter, like that shade can actually vary with a temperature of more than like 7 to 8 degrees, right? And of course, I'm sure about the fact that you also have a personal story of how environmental changes has actually impacted your life. Can you just, tell us about that? I mean, any of your personal experiences that you have, a personal story regarding the environmental changes that you have that has actually impacted your life.
I moved to Delhi in 2012. I used to live in Singapore, and my partner, she lived in the US, and we both made a decision to, get married and move to India to be in Delhi. And at that time, already seeing some of the trends, because she was very anxious about moving to Delhi, she was telling me about how she was reading about air quality, even at that time, at that time, I was not even a researcher on air quality. I was more focused on power systems. And lo and behold, in 2 years' time, in 2014, right, Delhi came to the reckoning of, one of the most polluted cities in the world. And, say what years before, sort of really panned out. And then in 2016, we had a daughter, right? And, she was born under difficult circumstances, extremely low weight, was a preterm kid. And, one of the things that I've realized after, looking at the circumstances of her birth was that, it's very possible that the poor air quality in Delhi may have resulted in some of the things that happened to her. Of course, touchwood, she's a miracle of science and she's doing well today. But what bothers me is, even though I'm trying to work on improving environmental outcomes, I'm having to put my daughter through the terrible air that the city of Delhi has. And ultimately, that is a combination of a bunch of things that we've done to the environment, right? Starting from, of course, the things that we put into the air by way of, unmitigated, pollution that's coming from different sources, whether it's vehicles, whether it's industries, whether it's burning of, waste that we're not able to manage well. And equally, right, that surround Delhi on the western edge, which until the last maybe 30 years ago were the defense against the desertification and the ingress of the Thar Desert. But you know, with the cutting down of trees in the Aravallis, what has happened is that we've slowly had the desert winds move in, right? And we've basically had a process of slow movement, so to say, of the desert itself, towards the east. And whatever the trees were basically managing to stop, especially when the Lu, basically during other parts, at other times of the year, is not happening anymore. And as a result, we find that there's a lot more, wind-blown dust that then lands in the city that gets resuspended and basically exacerbates the situation that we're faced with. So to me, this personal event of, having a child who's now 8.5 years old and having to constantly look out for her well-being and to ensure that, she at least gets the same air that we breathed as children. I was born in 1983, is something that's very, very important to me. And I hope, that understand, right, the perils of putting our next generation through urban upbringing and what it means for their long-term prospects in terms of, being healthy, contributing individuals to society itself. So that to me is the personal experience. And that's one of the things that, keeps me in Delhi, right? It's not, of course, I'm not doing justice to my daughter's own health. I try and protect her as much as possible in the indoor environment that she's in. But I hope that, we can fix this for her and for many other kids around the many cities across the country.
Two more things that I really want to ask you. But before that, there is a role of policy and, government in addressing environmental issues. Then there are businesses that incorporate more into sustainable practices. There are challenges that implement large-scale environmental projects. But, everyone talks about them. You read about all of this in newspapers. You actually see them on television. You go on YouTube. You can actually watch videos about it. But, we are always talking about sustainable technology for preserving things. So, I mean, you have been an expert to this field. So what, according to you, are going to be that listicle of things that, there have been latest advancements when it comes to sustainable technology for preserving the environment?
There isn't a silver bullet here, Karthik. There isn't a silver bullet here or even a listicle, so to say, that can do it. Because at the end of the day, the impact on the environment is constant and from everything that we do. And we need to be aware of all those areas in which, we impact the environment. And I think we need to start acting on every one of them. And it goes down to every aspect of life, to be honest. And in economics, there is a theory, two-factor production theory, which basically says that what we produce on a daily basis or on a yearly basis, right, which accounts to our GDP, gross domestic product, is a function of the capital that we invest, which is basically the money and the other resources, and the labor that is there. What is always forgotten is that what we produce on a yearly basis is also very much a function of what the environment is able to support. And we've never really managed to give environment its due in acknowledging that what's a function of how well the environment is able to support it. And we've never managed to account and document its impact and role in producing what we do. But ultimately, pretty much everything that we have on the surface of the earth, which is human built, is something that has come out of the earth. So how is it possible that we are continuing to produce without thinking of what is it that we're taking away and what the ability of the earth to support that growth is? So in that way, right, without, going into specific items, Karthik, right, because I think that would be gross things, and it's impossible for me to, if you ask me, to prioritize. So what I would ask is for everybody who's involved in any economic activity, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to you is involved in something or the other, right? Even if they're, if they're, for instance, traveling from one place to the other, there may be somebody who's working in a factory, there may be somebody who's sitting in an office in an air-conditioned space. In all of this, right, there is something or the other that they're doing to the environment. And we need to figure out what aspect of the environment actually supports them. And how can I do things differently so the environment is minimized? And unless we're actually able to think of it that way, I think it's going to be pretty tough, because otherwise it's always going to be a question of, hey, why don't you do something else? Why don't you do something about it? Because your impact is more. Ultimately, the reality is every one of us impacts it, and we need to be cognizant of that. And only then can we actually come to terms with how do we change the way we live so that we can actually do things better for the environment.
Well, before we end this podcast, this is actually one of my personal curiosity that came into place, and I really wanted to ask you this. You know, you talked about everything in particular and what is actually happening to the environment. And obviously, there is never a list when it comes to, you know, what can be the best thing to do out there, because we've already done a bit of a damage. And right now, it's time for people to actually stand up and be together and just, you know, make it like a moment. But, obviously, at the grassroots levels, there are things which are not being reported. So anything in particular that you know about before we wrap up this podcast, any of the grassroots environment activism that is happening across the world or in our particular in our country as well?
The one thing that at least strikes me as something that's coming up in a big way is, I think, the thought to what is it that we're eating, right? And ultimately, that is a big part of the environmental load that is put on in India, at least, right? Because agriculture is a very material intensive process. You have electricity, which comes from coal use, ton of chemical inputs. Of course, Indian agriculture is not nearly as, you know, chemically intensive as maybe production in the West is, but it's also a lot more unregulated in terms of what is it that, you know, can be used and sprayed on food items, how much is the residue that can be there. And you must have seen the recent revocation of products, for instance, these masalas, right, that was sent across to Singapore and many other countries. So I think ultimately what people have realized is the food that we eat, innate and intrinsic to our survival. And if you're not able to think of you know, how to make food safer, we're all jeopardizing our immediate future and indeed of that of our next generation. So I think there is certainly a revival. You know, there are a bunch of, you know, social media, you know, activists and indeed influencers who are now taking to sort of demonstrating what is it that is actually there in our food. And what we consume has a great ramification on what is it that we are producing and what is it that we're leaving. So hopefully, you know, we can start with something as important as food is, right? As Indians, you know, we all love our food. You know, we're very proud of our food and our culture and our eating culture. So hopefully that could be something that can actually sort of get people to think about the most important thing for us to survive. And then from there on, you know, we then multiply that effort to look at the multiple different sectors where we need to be thinking about sustainability and improving environmental outcomes.
And with that, we conclude today's episode. A big thank you to Mr. Karthik Ganesan. It's always a pleasure to actually talk to you and know about things that I'm not aware about, even though they are so close to me, yet so far. So thank you so much for, you know, actually shedding light upon certain things that needs to be addressed. And this is actually the right time where people need to, you know, raise awareness, and they need to continue doing it, and they need to support one another. So thank you, Karthik, for being a part of this.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can write to us at HT Smartcast or reach out to me on Elahi on Radio.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.